I would say taking action now is in your best interest, whether it's going to the bank or opening a self-directed account. As we talked about, you can always change. You can start one way, and once you get more comfortable, you can change to the next way. If you don't like your brokerage, you can change to another one. That's not a problem at all, but what we have that is very limited is time. So the sooner you can start investing, the more benefit you're going to earn from having your money in the stock market.
Bonjour, hi, my name is Juliette and I'm obsessed with all things self-development, goal setting, health and sustainability. Originally from France, I made the move to Canada with a vision to design my dream balanced life. On this podcast, I share with you everything I've learned along the way. The challenges, the lessons, and of course, the successes. It's also my chance to sit down with local experts, diving into the services and products that have the power to transform our lives. So grab your favorite headphones, stay hydrated, and get ready to learn simple tips that will elevate your life. Welcome to Good in Motion. If, like me, you're looking for personal finance content that is Canadian-focused, you're going to love this episode. Today, we're chatting with Jessica Morgan, founder and CEO of CanadianBudget.ca, who has a burning obsession with personal finance. She is also passionate about helping Canadians improve their financial literacy. Jessica offers a ton of resources for Canadians, like blog articles, freebies, and an Investing for Beginners course. So I recommend you check out her content. But first, let's get this conversation started. Hi, Jessica, and welcome to Good in Motion. I'm very happy we get to chat today. I'm very excited about the focus of today's topics that we will share in just a minute. So I've learned about what you are doing. I think just scrolling through Instagram, I found your resources. I found your Instagram handle called Canadian Budget. And this is one of the only resources, I think, that was Canadian focused. That's why I was very intrigued and interested by the content you were creating. Yeah, I would just stop here and I'll let you explain, let you present yourself. What do you do with this platform? How you got started and everything?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm Jess from Canadian Budget. My platform kind of got started because, as you mentioned, I was also looking for personal finance content that was Canadian in focus. And everything that I could find was really American focused. So all the top books that I was seeing, all the top websites, the major creators that I could find, majority were from the States. So it's one thing to digest all that information, and that's great, but it's another thing to have to translate, what is an IRA in Canadian terms? What is a 401k? What are the rules? Are they different? Can I follow what that person's saying? Does it apply to me? So that's kind of one of the reasons I got started, but I also had just sort of a love of budgeting and creating spreadsheets, and it started to build up from that point that I was creating my own tools to help with budgeting and started to help some friends and family as well. And I just really did a deep dive on every personal finance book I could find, took out, you know, tons of them from the library at a time and was just reading. I also did my MBA, and after that time, I realized I had a lot of this information in my head, and it could be really helpful to other people. So why don't I share these resources? And that's kind of how Canadian Budget got started. So I did start my blog, and then I started the Instagram as well, which is at Canadian Budget. And the goal for me is, you know, help Canadians access more Canadian resources. So not only do I, you know, create my own content, I often share a ton of other information, top Canadian personal finance books, YouTubers, Instagram creators, podcasters, and anything on the topic of personal finance for Canadians. So you can get more of the content that it specifically speaks to your own situation. You don't have to translate any terms. You don't have to understand if that really applies to your situation or not. So that's where it all started. And really my goal is to help Canadians improve their financial literacy, help more Canadians understand that investing isn't as scary as they make it out to be. Almost everybody can do it. And just get the information out there so people are having more conversations around money and that it becomes sort of less taboo to talk about.
I love that. And just from the moment you expressed the frustration about American content, I really relate to this specifically because at first, when you don't know and you can't have those discussions around you, you look for whatever can give you answers. And there's a lot of foreign information at first. But it's only when you start connecting with other people who have the same interest that you start learning about more relatable, like Canadian resources. And I love that you created a roof for this, for everybody to access this content. And I just had a quick question before we go more into the actual subject of investing for today. Did you share those information that you were learning with your close one at first? And then you felt like, you know, the rest of the world of the country needed to know about this?
Yeah. So once you're passionate about a subject, you don't really shut up about it very much. So yeah. Everyone around you gets to know about that. So I talked to my friends and family about, are they investing? Have you started saving? What are you saving for? What bank account are you in? Are you getting a good interest rate? So these types of things naturally came up in conversation around my friends and family circle, and eventually just thought, hey, you know, more people probably could benefit from having these conversations, so why not?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's like, oh, wow, a lot of people actually wonder about this, so I could help more people. Yes, today is very exciting because we're going to talk about different ways that Canadians can invest. And I had another question. Have you seen this ad? It's been all over my YouTube and just in general, each time I see an ad playing, I think it's from Questrade, where they interview Canadians about how much one Canadian need to save for retirement.
For retirement, yes, I did see that. Actually, it's quite a good campaign that they're running, because it really shows that a lot of people don't really know. They make an assumption of, you know, I think you need this much to retire, but many people haven't, you know, run the numbers to figure out what it is. And some people might be surprised that it may be a lot more, and they might be surprised that they have been consistently saving and they're closer than they think. So until you really figure that out for yourself, the number is going to be different for everybody. Mm-hmm. It's going to depend on your own lifestyle, your own spending habits, how much you expect to spend in retirement. Will you have a home that's paid off? Will you still be paying a mortgage? Will you be renting?
Yeah, your lifestyle.
Lifestyle has a really big effect on how much you're going to need. So some people can retire on a whole lot less. Some people may need a whole lot more. It's very personal.
Okay, so it's very personal. And yet today we like to share some action steps that people can take, or like at least the first step in their financial journey, like to keep moving and grow. And so because we're going to talk about the different ways that Canadians can invest, the different platforms or options, could you maybe share why do people need to invest in general?
So as everybody listening probably knows, cost of living is very high these days. Inflation is high. It is coming down from what it was over the past 2 years, but still, I think the last time I checked, we were around 3%. Saving alone is not going to get you to the amount of a nest egg saved up that you need to have to really manage your lifestyle through your post-work years, through your retirement. People are living longer these days. So after you retire, if you're able to retire at age 65, like most people expect to, you may be living an additional 20 or 30 years beyond that time frame. So depending on, you know, your gender, your lifestyle, a lot of things impact your longevity, of course, but you're going to need to have a good amount of money saved up. And when I say saved up, I do mean invested, because savings alone, if you have the highest interest savings account right now, you're going to get 5% return on your money. Whereas if you're investing in the stock market, the average annual return of, say, one of the major American stock indexes is around 10%. So that's really double the money that you can save. And it gives you a chance to really accelerate that growth and shorten the timeline to reach that goal. Overall, you'll need to save and actually contribute less of your own money over time if you're investing versus if you're saving.
Now, thank you for just putting everybody on the same level, because I think when you find one of the offer of the resources about finances, you never know what people know already. So at least, you know, our listeners can like go and get more information on the investing subjects. So yes, let's just dive in. So you explained to me before we started this recording that there are different ways for us to invest. So could you tell me more about this?
Yeah, for sure. So I think, you know, to start out with, Canadians have access to a number of different real term is called investment vehicles. You could think of them as accounts. These are things like the tax-free savings account, the registered retirement savings plan, the first home savings account. So these are all accounts that you can use to invest within. They could be used as savings accounts. They do have savings in their name, but they are not strictly savings accounts. You could save or you could invest within that account. So understanding, first of all, the types of accounts we have and what benefits and advantages each of those accounts give is a really important first step for people. So if you are over 18 years of age, you can open a tax-free savings account. You can have that as an investing account through a couple of different methods that we'll talk about in a few minutes. You could do the same with an RRSP as soon as you start working. And if you're thinking about buying a home in the future, you might want to open that first home savings account. There are some taxable benefits and, you know, savings that you can get by using these accounts versus a non-registered account. So that's something to think about as well in terms of your goals. But when we're talking about general investing for retirement, the RRSP and TFSA are the top accounts that most Canadians will use to save for retirement goals. So really, if you're not too clear on what are the ins and outs of each of those accounts, I highly recommend you look into them. They provide different benefits, but both are great to use to start to build up your investing accounts and save for retirement. But when it comes to the different kinds or styles of investing that Canadians have access to, I think it sort of goes on a scale of knowledge needed, low to high, and fees sort of low to high. So if you could sort of chart these on a graph. Probably the first exposure to investing most people get is by just walking into their bank account and talking to an advisor at the bank. They may set them up with a GIC, which is a guaranteed income certificate. It's one of the safest investments you can have in Canada. It also is a little bit low return. So because it's more safe, you're not going to get as high as return as if you were investing in the stock market. Other things the bank can set you up with are mutual funds. They are a little bit higher fee than going to invest in the stock market, in an index fund or an ETF or even individual stocks. But the knowledge required for this step is very low. So you don't need any special investing or financial expertise or knowledge. You can just walk into the bank and they're going to help you. But do know, you know, it's not free. Although you walk out without paying anything in terms of an upfront charge, you're going to pay more over the life of your investments because they do charge a higher fee for those mutual funds. And that comes out of your returns. So you never actually have to pay it out of pocket, which is why a lot of people don't quite register what those fees are or end up calculating it themselves over time. But if you do go online and look at a calculator, that's a free calculator you can find by just typing in sort of mutual fund fees calculator and seeing what a 2% fee will cost you over the life of your investments versus what investing in something that has a 0.05% fee.
Yeah.
It can equal hundreds of thousands of dollars, which is mind-blowing.
It can make a huge difference, like in terms of weeks or months, maybe more during retirement. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. If you've lost $300,000 to fees over your lifetime of investing, just think about how much further that could get you.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's why I love that you organize this. I just can see it's the chart of like lower knowledge, higher fees. And as you get more familiar with all the investing options, then you pay less fees because like you're doing more of the work. It makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. So there's nothing wrong with going to your bank and investing. I don't want to give that impression. But there are better ways to save more money while investing if you are more comfortable to start looking at the other options. So we can talk about the next level right now, which is a robo-advisor. So robo-advisor is like a middle ground between going to your bank and doing it yourself. I say this because you do have to take a little bit of action. If you've already invested with your bank, you're going to have to take some action to move your accounts from your bank to a robo-advisor. You don't really need, again, any specific knowledge to invest in a robo-advisor, but what they do is basically create portfolios that they will slot you into based on your risk tolerance and your timeline and some desired preferences. For instance, if you are a halal investor or you are someone who's interested in
sustainability, yeah,
that sort of thing. So they'll ask about your preferences, they'll ask about your timeline and your risk, and then they'll match you with a portfolio that they've created. And those portfolios contain exchange-traded funds or ETFs. So ETFs are very similar to mutual funds in some ways, but they are lower cost. So instead of a 2% fee to manage a mutual fund, you might be charged 0.9 or 0.5 or even 0.5. So it really does make a huge difference in the amount of fee savings over your investing lifetime if you take that step to grab a little bit of ownership of taking your money away from the bank and investing with a robo-advisor. They do a mix of bonds and stocks, ETFs within that portfolio. So you could be balanced, you could be more aggressive, more invested in equities or stocks, but it really depends on those questions that you answer for them. And they're going to match you appropriately based on your desires. Once you are set up with a robo-advisor, all you do is give money and they go and invest it for you. So you don't have to make any decisions after the fact. It's super simple, does not require really any knowledge in terms of the investing. But what you can do is sort of poke around in the back end, see what they're investing you in, and start to learn that way if you're interested to start to learn about what kind of funds they're invested in.
Maybe to mirror it.
Exactly. So I know some people who start out investing with a robo-advisor and then decide to dip their toe in self-directed investing at the same time until they get comfortable. So maybe start to buy the exact same thing in their own account so they get the practice of, you know, going in and making the purchase and seeing how it all works so they get that comfortability level first and then eventually transition away from robo-advisor and take all their money into a self-directed account.
Do you have a list of robo-advisors that you've heard about? I know Wealthsimple.
Yeah.
Are there other platforms?
There are. There's a lot of platforms. A lot of banks have their own as well. So depending on, you know, your preference, what you're looking for, you also want to look at the fees that each of them charge. The most common ones across Canada are Wealthsimple Managed Investing and Quest Wealth Portfolios. BMO also has one, I think it's called Smartfolio. RBC has something, I think it's called Investees. I might be wrong, but a lot of the larger banks will have their own versions of a robo-advisor and as well like a more higher-end brokerage. So you have options depending on if you want to stick with your bank but just shift to a different format of investing, or if you want to go and look at an external brokerage like Quest Wealth Portfolios or Wealthsimple. Always look at the fees because they are charging fees for this service. So typically you are going to have like a 0.5% management fee. So less than 1%, which is amazing, but it varies from organization to organization and what they're going to charge. So do take a look at that and also take a look at what they're able to invest in. Some platforms that are owned by the banks themselves only invest in their own products. So for instance, a BMO might invest in BMO Mutual Fund or BMO ETF versus something like a Quest Wealth or a Wealthsimple has thousands and thousands of ETFs. They're not restricted by their own products. So they might be a little bit more discerning in what they're choosing because of the options available to them.
Yeah, thank you for sharing this. I didn't know. It's really interesting because at first you do the first step because the whole thing can be overwhelming. So you start maybe moving your accounts from the bank to then the robo-advisor, and then maybe you didn't think step forward, but I want to have access to the whole stock market. And then you're like, shoot, this platform doesn't give me access. And then you're like, damn, I have to just change again. That's a really good point.
That could happen. But the good thing is most brokerages will pay any fees that are incurred for switching to their brokerage. So it minimizes that barrier, although you do have to take some action. And yes, there are some steps that you'll have to do. At least you don't have to pay a fee to make the switch. So again, when you're looking at a brokerage to start investing with, and if you have some money to transfer from elsewhere, do look in to see if they'll cover the charge. And if your home brokerage or bank levies a charge, what that charge might be, just so you're clear on all the fees that might be involved there.
Yeah, that makes sense. Fees are sneaky.
Fees are very sneaky, and especially with investing, because you don't pay them up front majority of the time, it really can add up and eat away at your investment returns, which, as we said, like over your lifetime, it can be hundreds of thousands of dollars. And when you're just starting to invest, if you're only investing like $50, $100 a month, just that number even might just seem like, oh, I would never have that much money anyways. But let's say you're starting investing at 25 years old. you have until how many more decades ahead of you that you're going to be investing, and that money is going to be growing, and those fees are going to be eating away each time. So just be aware of whatever method you choose, be aware of the fees. Maybe conduct a fee audit for yourself so you can sort of poke around and see, what am I being charged for this? Are there any fees associated to that? Just so you're aware, it's really helpful.
What would a fee audit look like? Like, you just sit down, you schedule some time for yourself to go through the contracts?
Yeah, exactly. So if you have a brokerage or you're invested, say, with your bank, you contact your bank and ask them for a statement and, you know, a list of all the fees that you've been charged and the performance. So you also want to look at that. Like, are you paying and getting really good performance? You may be happy with what you're paying for that performance, but if you're paying a large fee and the performance is not really living up to the expectation, that's another signal to say, maybe this is something I should reconsider as well.
Yeah.
So, and then we get to the final sort of highest level of knowledge needed, which is do-it-yourself investing or self-directed investing. There's a ton of brokerages, as I mentioned, out there that you could invest with. There are ones that are more geared toward the sort of simple and straightforward, and there are some that come with really fantastic and very detailed and tech-heavy analytics. So depending on your comfortability level, choosing the platform that is right for you and not going to overwhelm you or, you know, confuse you, I think is an important step, because you want to be investing somewhere where you're comfortable, where you feel like, oh, okay, I know what I'm doing, I'm confident, and it's not too overwhelming or difficult to understand. Also, I'll just mention that a lot of brokerages have like investor education side. So they have resources, tools, trainings, et cetera, to help you get comfortable with their platforms and make sure that you're successful.
They want to keep you. Yeah.
They want to make sure you're happy. So do check out those resources that all of the brokerages offer. If there's videos, if there's like walkthroughs or demos or things like that, everybody provides something a little bit different. But when we're looking at the do-it-yourself style of investing, this is the style that does require the most knowledge, but within it, there are different levels. So you could do something at the very easy and simple way of choosing a few ETFs, which, as I mentioned, exchange-traded funds. These are funds that contain a multitude of other funds within them. So you make one purchase, you might be buying 500 companies with that one purchase, or you might be buying 5,000 companies with that one purchase. So it simplifies the investing down to a single purchase and being able to diversify your holdings into either a stock index, which is something like the Toronto Stock Index, the S&P 500, the NASDAQ. These might be names you're familiar with. Basically are just groupings of parts of the stock market. And so ETF and index fund investing is sort of a low to medium level knowledge requirement in the world of DIY. So this would be like replicating your robo advisor portfolio for yourself. That's the style of do-it-yourself ETF investing. You can go over to the medium to higher side when you start to look at individual stocks. I would say it takes a lot more research for you to understand the companies.
The complexity, yeah.
How are they doing? Is the business run well? What is the outlook? What do people who are analysts in the financial industry say about this company? There's lots of tools out there. There's lots of websites that can help you analyze stocks, but it takes time and it takes research. And if you don't have the time, the comfortability, the confidence to spend time doing that, you may want to go back to the other methods, which are a little broader and take less time and concentrated effort.
Could we also say less risky?
It depends.
Okay.
So let's say, for instance, I'm an ETF investor and I purchase 3 ETFs that each contain 500 stocks. I am diversified into 1,500 different companies. That is great diversification, but it might not be all the diversification I need. For instance, if all 3 of those ETFs are American, I'm only focused in one region or one country. If all of those ETFs are technology heavy, I'm only focused in one sector. So you really have to look at what the composition of the funds you're buying is. How diversified is it in terms of the industries they invest in, the countries they invest in, the regions, you know, what kind of sectors and things like that, and make your decisions on what makes up your portfolio that way. But if I'm an individual stock investor, I'll have to buy a lot more stocks to be diversified, and that takes a lot more time and knowledge and study to really understand confidently, you know, what that entails. But there are sort of ways around it. You can sort of replicate ETF investing as an individual stockholder if you want to, for instance, buy the top 10 stocks that are contained in one of the major ETF funds. You can buy each of those individual top 10 stocks instead of buying ETF. It's not going to be as fully diversified, but it's a way to start. So there's lots of different options to consider.
I see. Yeah. And also, I think, so you've talked about different investing methods based on the knowledge you have, also the fees. And I would say there is also a third component, which is time. So I'm curious to know, do you have maybe a quick time estimate of how much time you need, let's say per week, per month, for each of these options on average?
I would say if you're doing robo-advisor or with your bank, you need literally zero time. You just put the money in and let it do its thing. So it's really, really, you know, not a strain on your time in any way, unless you want to start to do some learning alongside of it. And then, you know, half an hour a week is probably more than enough. But if you are really interested in starting to learn more about stocks, or if you want to do it yourself, it is going to take more time. I don't fully do, you know, self-directed stock picking. I am more an ETF fund investor with a few stocks here and there. So I personally haven't experienced that side of things, spending, you know, all the time doing the research, picking all the individual stocks. So I don't know how long that would take you each week, but I would assume it's labor intensive to make sure that you are making the best decision for yourself, that you're picking companies that are going to meet your expectation of what you think is going to happen in the market. And yeah, rebalance your own portfolio, you know, reinvest your dividends. All these things, they're going to take time.
Yeah, I would say it's probably a part-time job. So at the beginning of this episode, you've talked about the different investment vehicles. And I know that some people could be confused and think that because they add money into, let's say, a TFSA, then they're maybe investing. But I think you know where I'm going with this. Like,
yeah,
if you can take words out of my mouth.
For sure. Absolutely.
Okay, perfect.
So I think it depends. You know, a lot of people misunderstand an account, first of all. They may have a conception that I have an RRSP, so I'm investing. I'm just going to put money in. But if you have a brokerage account and it's a self-directed account, you have to do an additional step, which is to go in and purchase those funds. So you don't want your cash just sitting there in your account doing nothing. It's not going to earn you any interest unless it's invested in something. So that is that next step that you have to take. But if you are using your RRSP or your TFSA or your FHSA as a savings account, that's how it works. You put your money in the savings account and it's going to earn a little bit of interest, and that's fine. But when you switch to investing, if you're not doing a robo-advisor, they're going to invest for you. All you do is put your money in. But if you have that self-directed account and you are focusing on index or ETF funds or doing the individual stock picking, you have the responsibility to go in and, after you've transferred your money, go in and purchase something with it. So it's a really important step if you've decided to open a self-directed account.
Yeah, otherwise it just doesn't move and then inflation happens and you're actually losing money because the value of that dollar is going down. Yeah. Thank you for clarifying this. Because I'm a big fan of, like, you know, just going the first step, doing the first action, even if it's small and you adjust it later. I'm curious to know what you would say between someone who's like, oh, I'm going to do the robo-advisor, but when I have more time in 1 year from now, or someone who's like, oh, I'm just going to go to the bank right now and later I will see, you know, if I want to learn more about investing.
Yeah, I would say taking action now is in your best interest, whether it's going to the bank or opening a self-directed account. As we talked about, you can always change. You can start one way, and once you get more comfortable, you can change to the next way. If you don't like your brokerage, you can change to another one. That's not a problem at all. But what we have that is very limited is time. So the sooner you can start investing, the more benefit you're going to earn from having your money in the stock market, because you're earning interest on your money. That interest is compounding. If you are invested in a stock that perhaps, you know, gives dividends, if you reinvest those dividends, you're then buying more of the stock with money that you didn't have to put in. So the longer of a time period you have invested, the more you have the chance to take advantage of what's called compound interest.
This is such a hot concept. It's really great.
It's a really important concept to know. Because simple interest is, you know, you get interest only on the principal that you put in. So you put in $100, say you have a 4% bank account, you're going to get 4% on $100. The second year, you're going to get 4% on $100. But compound interest is where now after year two, you have $104. Now you're earning interest on $104 instead of on, you know, just $100. And every year it compounds. So your interest begins making interest, which is why, to bring it all back, you know, investing can accelerate your path to retirement and to your financial goals much faster than just saving can. And it's really a tool that I am desperate to get more Canadians comfortable with. I think, you know, especially women are very hesitant to start to do anything unless we are 100% confident. We know that stat definitely from applying for jobs. If you don't meet 100% of the criteria, you know, you're more hesitant to apply as a woman. But I saw a really great quote this morning and I shared it here. So I want to share it because I thought it was really relevant. It's from Sheryl Sandberg. And it says that women need to shift from thinking, I'm not ready to do that, to thinking, I want to do that and I'll learn by doing it. So please don't be afraid to start to do something. If you're not 100% confident, you're going to learn as you go. Even if you make a mistake, we've got time to fix it. So please don't be so, you know, concerned that it stops you from taking action. There's a lot of easy ways to get started investing. And the sooner you start, the greater benefit that you are going to get from it in the long run.
Yeah. And thank you for sharing this quote. It's highly relevant. And I agree, it's better to start now, even if maybe there are higher fees with the first option. But at least you have one foot in it, and then, you know, you get more familiar with the keywords, the concepts. And then when you have more time or you're ready for the next level, then you go to that next step. And it's always the same thing. It's not about doing huge movements and, you know, huge steps. Finally, it's just about doing little shifts, one after the other, and eventually we get where we want to go.
Exactly. And you don't have to start big either. You can start very, very small. Of course, depending on the platform you choose, some platforms do have a minimum investment of, say, $1,000. But there are others, Wealthsimple, for instance, where you can start with literally $0 and put in $5 a week if that's all you can manage. So don't make the image in your head that you have to do big or you have to be perfect. You can start small, you can start slow, but starting is the most important thing.
I love that. I'm going to send this episode to many of my friends because it's also a subject we talk about often. So a question I ask each of my guests is, what is a recent win, either personal or in your career, that you would like to share with us so we can just celebrate it?
Oh, yeah. So, well, a few days back, I had been talking to a reporter who was asking for some quotes on an article that she was writing. And then a day or so ago, she's like, oh, can you share a picture as well? And I say, yeah, of course, no problem. And then the following day, I saw my face on like literally every Canadian news media website. And I was like, what is going on? I didn't expect that. Like, I was the cover image of the article and it got picked up by City TV, CTV, Money Sense, like all the news platforms. So I was a little bit blown away and so thankful. And that was just really an exciting moment for me.
This is awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, you've already participated in a couple of articles that we can find on your website. Again, it's like one step after the other. Eventually, the whole country gets to see what you're doing. So that's awesome.
Thank you so much.
So for our listeners, I'm sure they got a lot of value from this episode. There were like some general knowledge, I think, information, but also more niche ones. So where could our listeners learn more about what you have to share, your resources and everything?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the best place to go is to check my website, which is canadianbudget.ca. on there, I've got some blog posts that are going to be really helpful. There's one on best investing platforms for beginners, 5 reasons why you need to be investing specifically as a Canadian woman. And I have some freebies as well that can help get you started. So if you go there, you can download some free investing terms cheat sheet that's going to give you the top 10 investing terminology for Canadians that you should know, as well as I have a financial goal setting worksheet that you can download for free. That's going to help you get just some guidelines on where you should be saving versus investing, how long it's going to take you to reach those goals and that type of thing.
This is great. This way they can listen to this episode while looking at the cheat sheet with a keyword. So that's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Jessica, for recording this episode with me today. I love the value. Like I said, for sure, I will send it to a couple of friends because we talk about this all the time. So is there anything else that you wanted to share with our listeners today?
No, just thank you so much for having me. It was really a pleasure. It was really nice to be contacted from you, somebody that was also already following me on my Instagram. So, you know, happy to share some more information for Canadian audiences and get the word out there.
I love that. Thank you so much, Jessica. See you. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Good in Motion. If you loved this as much as I did, go ahead and rate and subscribe so you never miss an episode. This is Juliet signing off. See you next time.